Hey everyone, welcome to the Make the World a Better Place podcast. My name is Fakaba alongside with Tatiana and Ahmed, and we're very excited to discuss an intriguing and important topic, which is the Sustainable Development Goal. There are 17 SDG goals, and we will be focusing on S10, which is reducing inequalities. In this episode of our podcast, we will go in depth with some of these inequalities that are very critical in our world now. We will also have a very important guest speaker, Nikki Bibby, and I'll let her give us some perspective on some of these inequalities and help the world be free of such inequalities. So stay tuned as our episode will be full of arguments, solutions, and great dialogue. Now, please let me introduce Tatiana.
Hey, everyone. My name is Tatiana, along with Ahmed and Fakaba. So let's jump into our heated discussion regarding inequalities. Ahmed, would you like to share with us what we will be focusing on today?
Good evening, Tatiana and Fakaba. Yes, let's get started. But before digging into the topic, I would like to give our audience a quick overview on why SDG number 10 is called Reduced Inequalities and not just simply inequalities. So basically, the Sustainable Development Goals are set to order in order to call a universal action to put an end to poverty, protect the planet, and ensure that by the year 2030, people will have the ability to live in peace and prosperity. Therefore, reducing inequalities basically refers to us putting an end to as many inequalities as there could be, and eventually reducing them.
Thank you. Right, so the goal is actually to reduce the inequalities and make sure no one is left behind. So Fakaba, let me ask you a question. We all know there are many types of inequalities that should be demolished. However, if you were given the opportunity to get rid of just one in an instance, which would you choose?
Well, that's a trick question if you ask me. But thinking about it, I would say education inequality is one that deserves to be instantly demolished. And this for several reasons.
Care to tell us why that's one you would pick?
Well, I've previously read the exact definition of education inequality in a book called Democratic Thinking and Student-Centered Pedagogy, Bringing Equity, Autonomy, and Purpose to Online Learning Education Inequality. They basically say that education inequality is the unequal allocation of educational opportunities regarding the financial and academic resources, like skilled and eligible teachers, or access to digital assets that ease the educational process. With this being said, there is major issue and sizable problem in the universal primary education. Sub-Saharan African countries are the ones affected most by education, as almost 32 million of primary age remain uneducated. In addition to this, almost 27 million children in the Pacific and Central Eastern Asia are also uneducated. Not having a proper educational system hinders any country economically and socially. Also, due to poverty and marginalization, more than 72 million children globally don't get educated. In order to demolish education inequality, we need to know what it is. Education equality has two dimensions. The first one is fairness, which means that any person or social circumstances don't interfere with accessing education. The second is inclusion, which means the presence and availability of basic educational standards.
Yes, especially after knowing that the fact that equality in access and good education helps children and countries become adults with full potential and then help the country grow and be better. So that means that some countries will never have the ability to fully develop.
Exactly. Not only this, but young children are not the only ones affected. The deficiency of financial resources impact the quality and skills of teachers as well. Also, it makes it difficult to build schools or provide enough classes, leading to the accumulation of different educational levels together in small classrooms, which prevents each individual student from benefiting from a good education.
You know, I have also previously heard about the factors of education inequality, and the most common factors for educational inequality in America are often government policies, choice of school, family wealth, residential location, parenting style and choices, or even implicit bias towards the student's race, ethnicity, or gender.
Well, Ahmed, it seems you two have a lot to say about this subject. So does that mean you are also in favor for demolishing educational inequality first?
I'm glad you asked. While I agree with what Fakaba said, personally, I would choose racial inequality in the workplace.
Wow, that one's never crossed my mind. Do you mind telling us why specifically you choose racial inequality in the workplace and not racial inequality as a whole?
Racial disparity in the workplace is more than just a matter of decisions being made in an unequal manner. Workplace inequality is a barrier that discriminates against and minimizes opportunity and chance. Although glass ceiling has been at the forefront of the civil rights debate since the 1970s, employee rights are rarely emphasized. I have also seen a statistic stating that 67 for 148,000 charges of discrimination were filed to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is a federal agency to protect employees of their rights despite the difference in race or color.
I've heard that topic danced around a lot, and when you talk about statistics of this magnitude, it just leaves you speechless.
Yes, racial disparity in the workplace is definitely more than just a matter of making decisions, of just matter of decisions being made in an unequal manner. Since both of you guys have different opinions on which inequality you would choose to demolish first, I have a different one in mind. I would personally choose healthcare inequality, as reducing inequalities means to me to bring light to the issue, finding a way to make it better and make it equal for everyone that is affecting.
That is an interesting one for sure, but can you elaborate more on its meaning?
Yes, healthcare inequality is when someone is denied the same medical access as someone based off their race, age, gender, sexual orientation, even their economic status. The causes for this inequality can range from poverty, environmental threat. Just like racial inequality, healthcare inequality is ingrained in the DNA of the USA. In order for the world to thrive, One group of people have to be part of any disparity. Healthcare inequality started back in medical school. When learning how you're supposed to take care of someone, the textbook fails them. The top country that has the most healthcare inequality is the United States. 22.4% of African Americans have been diagnosed with a serious mental illness. That's 1.1 million. Healthcare inequality is one of the biggest inequalities that affect our country every day. According to healthcare inequality in the U.S., one reason why healthcare inequality is high in America is because it's the only country that relies on private health insurance. Before the Affordable Care Act, around 20% of Americans had little to no healthcare, which means almost 45,000 of those people died each year because they couldn't afford healthcare. They couldn't afford the high cost of healthcare. In order for this inequality to be completely gone, we need to make sure everyone has access to universal healthcare, which is a system that provides quality medical and service to all citizens. With everyone having access to some of this, and that some of the advantages would be it lowers the healthcare costs in an economy. The government controls the price of medication and medical service through negotiation and regulation. It eliminates the administration cost of dealing with different private healthcare insurers, and it forces hospitals and doctors to provide the same standard of service at a low cost. In a competitive environment like the United States, the healthcare providers force on new technology. They offer expensive service that can pay doctors more.
Well, Tatiana, I appreciate that information. Healthcare is definitely a necessity, and it is very neglected inequality in its own right.
I couldn't agree more with you. And since we all got to dig into three different inequalities, I feel that it is time for us to know more about how we can get rid of them and reduce them.
Exactly. But for this question, we will leave the answer for a more professional figure who is knowledgeable in the field and can help us find solutions. We would love to welcome our guest speaker, Nikki Bibby.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So I'll start by telling you all a little bit about myself and my background, and then kind of work a little bit into specifically educational inequality. So my name is Nikki Bibby. I'm a program director in adult homeless services here in New York City, working with street homeless individuals. I've been working with this population for 10 years now. I received my bachelor's in psychology from Stony Brook University with a minor in Africana studies, and then pursued my master's in social work from Hunter College in NYC with a concentration in community organizing. And I am also a licensed clinical social worker. So one of the topics that you guys brought up is particularly of interest to me, and it is the topic of educational inequality. And it's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart because it's something that I experience very personally. I am actually from a small city called Rochester, upstate in New York, and I was able to actually enter a suburban school district in Rochester that's very affluent, predominantly white, through a program called Urban Suburban. And I was actually able to get in first grade, so I was able to attend from first grade through 12th grade. So that's just a little bit about that. But before that, we should understand a little bit of history about kind of the root of educational inequality, which is racial inequality. But historically, law-wise, we had the Plessy versus Ferguson decision, which kind of said that all of our, you know, school facilities needed to be separate but equal. And what did we find out? We found out that that wasn't happening, that that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, for various reasons, it couldn't. So then you move forward from the late 1800s into, you know, 1950s. And then we get Brown versus the Board of Education that basically said, listen, things are separate, but they're not equal. So we're going to desegregate the schools, right? So you yep. segregate. And then now you move into busing, right? Because now we have to kind of find ways to integrate these school districts in order to kind of get rid of some of these disparities. That's the idea behind it. And therein lies the urban suburban program that I was referencing that I was in. So there's pros and cons to doing the busing programs. The pros are I can speak personally to having a better education and improved educational opportunities. It was very clear that college was expected. Tons of like colleges reaching out, trying to recruit to get you to go there. The negative side of it, though, was having to deal with a lot of race relations at such a young age and trying to navigate that. So you kind of have to weigh out as a parent, as a kid, you know, is it worth it for me to send my child there to get a better education and have to deal with these things? What do I think that we could do to improve it? I think that busing is a short-term solution, although it does have its benefits. But in order to do anything in the long term, the real answer is that we need to get increased funding for these underserved school districts. I can speak to the fact that when I went to the school district, I never wanted for books. I never wanted for tutoring. I never wanted for attention from my teachers, right? I didn't have to compete because there were so many students in the classroom that the teacher didn't have time to work with me. And funding, it helps with a lot of that. I mean, statistics show that schools with 90% or more students of color spend $733 less per student per year than schools with 90% or more white students, right? So you need the money in order to hire better teachers, in order to have the resources, in order to make the school safer, in order to make sure that people have the resources that they need. So that's kind of why educational inequality is kind of dear to my heart and why it's something that I kind of wanted to chat a little bit about today. But all in all, short term, we could do more targeted busing. And in long term, the permanent solution is increased funding on a federal level for these programs as well as statewide.
We'll connect with the guest speaker speaking on to some of the things at NYC that are the same or different.
So as Nikki pointed out, that's one of the main solutions that would help over long term with educational inequality would be the funding that the teachers get. I can connect that to me living in New York right now, because growing up, I went to a public school, and I've had teachers who were underpaid, so they really didn't care whether you succeeded or not in school. They was just like, yeah, Y'all not giving me enough money. Y'all want me to deal with the kids? I don't care. So I can completely agree with what Nikki is saying when it comes to we need to start the federal government needs to start funding schools more to pay their teachers more so they can actually care about their students and their education.
And just to speak a little bit more about the education and the quality, like I could speak to it myself with my own experience. I remember going upstate to school and like just being inside those classrooms with those computer tech students, all of them was basically, I'd say maybe two classes away from getting a degree. And that's because they was taking a lot of those classes in high school. Well, where I went to high school at, like they wasn't offering those classes and they don't offer a lot of those classes within the city. So that's one of the things I could say.
I can also say that, and I can connect what Nikki said to Egypt, as the students in Egypt who are of different races especially have a very hard childhood in schools, as they are experiencing racism every day just based on their skin colors or because they're of a different ethnicity or a different group than the other students.
So thank you to all those listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed the different perspectives and opinions on the very topics of reducing inequalities. Ahmed and Tatiana, I really enjoyed this episode, and I hope that we offered inspiring solutions to our audience in order to reach SDG number 10. Thank you all again, and have a wonderful day.